Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are together again in the Cleveland studio. And we're talking to you right after the Derek Chauvin verdict has come down. Derek Chauvin was convicted on all three counts in a relatively short deliberation. I think it was 9 hours. Isn't that relatively short?
Yeah, no, it was. Okay. I mean, it was incredible. I mean, I told you, you know, with it being that short, that chances are it's got to be all three.
Yep.
You know, like there was no, you know, I mean, clearly they weren't hung, right? Like, I mean.
Right. No, I predicted there would be at least one aspect that they'd be hung on, and nope. I mean, yeah, having been part of a hung jury, it takes a long time. Yeah. What's going on? But they came back with what I will call the right verdict. I have some pretty weird feelings about it. I'll throw to you first and say, what are your thoughts?
No, you can't say you have weird feelings about it. Like,
okay, fine.
What's
sure,
your...
Sure, I can. It was weird to me. All right, first of all, the verdict is what I was hoping for and did not expect. I was expecting there to be some... a longer deliberation and a potential of one charge not being a conviction. And then I kind of felt, I kind of went from relief to kind of an empty feeling of like, we still live in a country where this fucked up shit goes on. This guy pled not guilty because I think he genuinely believed I've gotten away with it before and I'll get away with it again. Not murder, but he had been involved in multiple.
He had 18 infractions.
Right.
Crazy.
And so it just made me feel like, okay, I mean, to cheer for a person going to prison is a weird thing to cheer for. Just like cheering for Osama bin Laden getting killed is a weird thing to cheer for. But yet my lizard brain goes, yeah, I want that to happen. I want this guy in prison. I want Osama bin Laden dead. But I didn't feel...
Vindicated?
No, or yeah. It's like
feel better? Yeah, that's, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, the black experience, right?
Okay,
like,
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
It just, that's, it's never, like when these things happen, like it's not like, when you see black people excited, cheering for shit like this, it's not because this is how we get off, right? This is not our favorite pastime. This isn't like a basketball or a football game that's pent up frustration, anger, you know, personal experience. You know, a cop has roughed you up in the past unnecessarily, has violated your constitutional rights, and you felt helpless. You had no control over it, and you knew that going, you know, to the police was going to be useless because nobody was going to listen. At best, at worst, you could face retaliation, so you don't say anything. And so you finally see someone who you believe has you know, been dealt with the appropriate way. You see justice in a situation that was unjust, and that elicits a certain reaction, right? But it's not joy. It's just finally. You know, like, finally I'm seeing the system somewhat work. In what I see, like, people see themselves in the eyes of George Floyd and say, I see this working out finally in my favor, in our favor. It means that maybe now, maybe it will next time something, if something happens between me and a cop that's inappropriate, then maybe I will say something and something will happen to that person. Not because you want to go out and punish people unnecessarily, but if you have people in positions of power abusing that power, then you want to know that you have a safe way to deal with those people. And for, I don't know, 10 decades, the answer was basically no, right? I mean, you know what I mean? Over 100 yep. years, you know, there was very little accountability for the police. You know, through the first 50 years, you know, of the 20th century, you know, police could basically do whatever they wanted to black people, and there was little to no repercussion to it whatsoever. And things started to change after the civil rights era, but I mean, slow and very incremental change, right? So, you know, you're finally starting to see some accountability. I just looked up a stat that since 2005, there have been about 60 instances. Well, no, I'll go with the stats that I remember for sure. There have been 30 convictions that have ended in jail time for police officers and misconduct that has involved excessive force and or death. So you've got 30 instances in 2005 across the country.
So 16 years, so basically two a year.
Right. And that's, depending on how you look at it, that could be, you could look at it in some instances and say that's a good stat, and others you could say, man, that just doesn't quite feel right. Feels like there should be more.
I assume it's a national number.
It's a national number. If you look and you think about the number of instances, if it's that few, then okay, maybe we're doing good, but we know that the numbers aren't completely accurate in terms of reporting, so it's probably underreported, and then you have the people who don't say anything and the stuff that doesn't get reported, so we know that number isn't really giving us a full picture, so there's only so much you could do with it. But back to the Chauvin verdict specifically, for me, it was, I think I have to set realistic goals and realistic expectations with these cases, right? And I try to step back and be as objective as I can when looking at them, right? I try to look at them from the position of the prosecutor. I try to look at them from the position of the defense. I try to look at them from the position of the judge and the jury. And that's how you have to do it. When you're going into a trial as an attorney, you have to look at every single aspect of this case. Where can you get beat? Where are you strong? What do you know is going to impact the jury in a positive way? What do you know is going to impact the jury in a negative way, based off your experience and what data tells you? So looking at this case, I was concerned about the second and third degree murder charges initially, but as the prosecution laid the case out, as I watched it happening in real time, what I saw was a prosecution that was well prepared. They were meticulous. They were deadly accurate. They were concise. They allowed the witnesses and the evidence to tell the story. They didn't lead, right? They just kind of pointed in a direction and they let the evidence do the work. And they didn't, because what happens is sometimes you get a prosecutor or a defense attorney, you get these attorneys in here and they love to hear themselves speak. Right, they love to they love to go on and on and on and on, right, and tell you all the in all the fancy words that they know. These guys didn't do that, right? They said, "Look, here's the law. This is what it is. This is what happened. Go," right? And they did a really good job. Early on, you were concerned about bringing the kids on, and I said, "Look, that's a no-lose situation for them."
No, you made a good point there.
They did it the right way, because you can fuck that up. You can absolutely fuck that up. You put too much pressure on the kid. You kind of put them in a situation where that they're not prepared for. If you've got a kid that's unstable or something like that, it can go terribly wrong. But the way they did it was great. The defense they weren't up to muster. Now, I think the defense dropped the ball big time.
You said this on social media. I'm really curious to hear about
this. Yeah, so the defense, what they should have focused on, what they did was they went wide, right? They took what they call a shotgun approach, and they said, when you shoot a shotgun, you get a bunch of little BBs that come out, right? And it sprays and it goes everywhere, right? Which is why I think it's interesting that people put red dots on shotguns. Like, what the fuck do you use that
for? Using buckshot,
but I don't know. Anyway,
go down that road with me.
But so what the defense did, they said, all right, every possible theory we're going to throw out there to look for reasonable doubt. Right? Was it carbon monoxide from the car? Did he die from a drug overdose? Was it because he had these other pre-existing conditions? Right? They said all these different theories. They put it all out there, which sometimes that can work. But what they didn't do and what they didn't focus on, and this would have been the only thing I would have focused on if I were defending Chauvin, right? What the medical examiner say? Medical examiner said, died of what?
Did they say inconclusive? What did they say?
Right.
They said he died of lack of oxygen.
Right. Of lack of oxygen, and it was more directed towards the fentanyl and what was in his system. Right. They said it was they said it was a homicide, but they also pointed heavily towards the drugs in his system. Right. And that's the thing that if I'm a defense attorney, I'm taking that and I'm focusing on the part where they're where they're talking about the drugs in his system. And that's the thing I would have hammered the most. Going to the stuff about the carbon, because the thing
carbon monoxide thing was idiotic.
Well, that was idiotic because it backfired on them so bad. Right? Like, I mean, well, aside from just common sense, right? It backfired so bad because the defense leads the witness and the prosecution just comes up and says, all right, now remember you're under oath. So using common sense, is this possible? Well, no. Okay. Moving on. Right. So, you know, that's kind of where you would have focused. Now, is it a strong argument? Nah, but it's probably the strongest one you got, right? Is to focus on what they said about the drugs in his system at the time. And that's that you got to make your defense really kind of built around that, and they didn't. They really tried to focus on all different possible theories. They just got crossed over too many times by their own witnesses. Their cross examinations all backfired in one way or another. They were outgunned in terms of the evidence going against them, which is they can't control that, right? And there was, you know, they tried to get stuff thrown out early on, and there was no grounds for it. I thought their overall preparedness, like his defense attorneys weren't sharp. They muttered around. I thought they talked too much, and they were outgunned and overmatched in terms of what they had going against them and the attorneys that they were up against. And it bared out in every aspect of the case. Now, well, people turn around and say, oh, well, he can appeal and say, all right, you know, ineffective assistance of counsel. That bar is so high, right? To get that, to win that on appeal, that you're like, you basically have to prove that your attorney was doing absolutely nothing for you, you know, was waking up right before, you know, he had to be in court and just kind of winging it. And, you know, I mean, like, the bar is extremely high for ineffective assistance of counsel. He's not going to win that if that's one of the grounds for his appeal. I think he's got limited grounds for an appeal. There are some things that they will be able to try to appeal. I just don't think that they're going to be very strong arguments, and they're probably going to get thrown out.
You know, I want to say one thing, because when we first started doing a podcast together in 2014 or whatever, we were pounding on, we need police to wear body cams. Mm-hmm. Now, this was not a police body cam. Most of the video we saw was from cell phone coverage, yep. Whatever. Either way, we saw all of this. Yep. This is the most, I mean, in terms of just being completely calculating, and I hope it doesn't come off as cold, but this is the most transparent event that we've ever seen a major trial on. We watched everything. And the fact that he thought he was going to get away with any kind of, you know, and the reason I bring this up is the awfulness of the past and hopefully an improvement in the future is, if this happens pre-cell phone, pre-body cams, this is a police report that says suspect resisted arrest, died while being apprehended,
so I'm gonna and we jump get nothing. In and say, I don't, like, you know, the big, you know, what you're seeing a lot of people saying, this is a turning point. I don't know if I agree with that.
I didn't mean to say that.
Okay, because we watched Walter Scott get shot in the back.
Yeah.
We watched that man get shot in the back, his while running fat away. Ass running away, and then the officer come and drop a taser on him like right. he tried. Like,
but he was convicted, right?
He was. Michael Slager was convicted in
federal court. I
think in federal court. He's serving that time, right? And we saw, you know, the officer that shot Laquan McDonald, right? We saw that. Right.
I forget his name. Van something.
I can't think of his name. But, I mean, we saw that brutal killing, you know, right. where, I mean, you know,
16 shots in 14 right. seconds.
And Laquan McDonald was clearly having a mental health episode or whatever you want to call it. And you know, he was disturbed. But he was going away from the officer. And that guy put an entire clip in him.
Yeah.
Where everyone else had their guns drawn. No one else fired a shot. And then you had all the, you know, Chicago action that happened with it, with trying to cover it up after the fact. But, you know, and even in Minnesota, right? Like, you had the shooting of where you had the Somalian police officer who killed the Australian lady, you know, in the alley.
Right.
And he was also convicted. and I guess my point is, we've seen, like, this is one of the worst because of the way that George Floyd died. But, you know, we used to talk to a guy, you know, was really experienced with police work, and you know, he studied it and you know, went to school and all this other stuff. And, you know, one of his big things was like, look, man, all this stuff is happening, but I don't like, there was, of all the things we had seen to that point, you know, which is prior, even with this, I think we talked to him about this around the Ahmaud Arbery time and when this happened, because they were around the same time. You know, his big thing was, no matter what happens with this, he didn't see policing changing. He didn't see that wave of change that's required coming. And as much as I disagreed with him at the time, I'm closer to him now than I was then, although I still have faith, because people are very upset. And what transpired and what we're going to talk about next with what happened in Columbus with the young girl, I think is a different scenario, but still could push for change. But I don't want to go there yet.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe this is part of a start of a change. But I mean, you know, you're talking about an entire system, right, that looks very similar across the country, but they're all individual, they're all small, they're all different, and they all have their own set of variables, which makes it harder to change the entire system, right? Like, Cleveland is just different than Chicago. Chicago is different than St. Louis. St. Louis is different than Minnesota, right? All those places have bad histories and bad problems, and the changes that work in Cleveland may not work in Chicago. The things that work in Chicago may not work in St. Louis and Minnesota, sure, and so on and so forth. So
wherever the podunk town that Ahmaud Arbery was shot in,
yeah, down in Georgia, right? I mean, it's a small coastal town. Yeah, I mean, like, so it, you know, things that work in one place aren't going to work in the other, which are also part of the problem, which makes this so difficult. And it's also something that I'm starting to push back on when people look at what happens with George Floyd and Derek Chauvin, and then they go to, well, look at these police officers and this white guy in another city in another state. They didn't do anything. Like, well, yeah, no, but those officers are in a different city. They're in a different state. It's a completely different situation. And anytime someone shows me a video, right, of a police officer dealing with an erratic suspect with maybe a gun or a knife, and it ends where they don't kill the person, they don't shoot the person, I say, yeah, that's good. That's kind of what we want, right? Like, sure. I mean, as much as I don't want crazy people running around waving guns and knives and everything else at people, but, like, yes, I absolutely want, that's how I want the police to handle it. I'm not upset that they didn't kill this guy because he's white. What I'm upset is that the guys in the other town killed the black guy unnecessarily. Right, so we need the guys in the other town to get closer to what these guys in the white neighborhood in another city in another state are doing, right? Which the problem is that, again, it's another city, it's another state, it's just different. So that's kind of where I am with what this means. I don't know if this means anything. I don't know if it's a catalyst. It would be great if it was and we saw a wave of change. I just don't know if that's what we're gonna see.
I don't know that it is either. I just know that had this gone to it, let's just say it was a mistrial. Let's say it was hung on all three counts. I would literally have just hung my head and said, what does it take? I mean, we saw all of this on high def video. This isn't a, you know, he said, she said, well, or whatever.
I don't want to kind of swat you away, but we don't have to think that, right? Like, there's no reason to really go there, because I think it's an incredibly tragic situation.
Sure.
And I'm not happy about it at all, because a man lost his life. You've got multiple families that are destroyed. I Chauvin seems like
a douchebag to me.
He's not checking many boxes of the winner's circle, but this guy's life is destroyed. His family's destroyed. Who knows if he even survives prison, right? And I'm not saying, like, I feel sorry for him, because what he did was just atrocious, right? Because even the people who are pissed off that he got convicted on all three counts are just like, well, I mean, he probably was guilty of manslaughter, right? But, I mean, all three counts? Like, that's the argument now, right? Like, I mean, it's just like, well, I mean, like, they're sending him to jail longer than he need to be. Like, somebody told me online.
That's accurate if you're not Tucker Carlson.
Someone online tried to say that this guy is a political prisoner. And I just, I'm like, okay, you know what? And
was now that we're Tucker done. Carlson?
No, I mean, stop with Tucker Carlson. No. I hate that you say his name so much. Like,
he doesn't gain from us. But and fuck him.
But I just, you know, it's just the fact that this was the right verdict.
Yes.
And it's justice. But what it took to get here, like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, we just couldn't have come up with, like, we know what we need to do, but we're refusing to do it, right, as a whole because of politics and anger and racism, right? Like, you don't want to let the blacks win, and you don't want to let the Democrats win. And it's like, so we'd rather have citizens die in the street and justify it and say, well, just comply, as opposed to actually addressing the issues that are causing these interactions in the first place. And that's the part that's just incredibly disturbing.
If I want to say one more thing about the trial itself from my observation, was I thought the judge was fantastic in this way he spelled out the elements of what you needed to convict or not. I watched a fair bit of that, and he was so meticulous. And I compare that to my jury experience. I'm like, we were just like, well, let's figure this out. That judge, I thought, hammered down, here's what you should consider, here's what you should not telling you what to think, but here's the things that you can and cannot do. I thought the judge was very good.
He was. There were some things he did towards the end that I was a little, I don't like that. But we don't need to go down that road.
Is one of those about Maxine Waters? Because we got to talk about her.
Yeah, let's talk about Maxine Waters and what she said.
You or me?
You do a good impression of Maxine Waters.
No, I do not. Do not try to trick me into that, you son of a bitch. Because the one time I tried to do a black lady impersonation, A, I sucked at it. B, I didn't recognize I sucked at it. And B, you told your mom, or C, you told your mom on me. So she basically said, if this trial or if this verdict doesn't go the way it should, we should be more confrontational. That was actually that video was sent to me with no context from a conservative friend of mine. And he just literally sent me a text and said, what do you think of this? And I was not aware that it was in specifically speaking about the Chauvin verdict. And I basically said, yeah, it's not how I would word things, but it's, you know, to me, it's not trying to incite violence. I stand by part of that, but I do think it was very poorly said by her. I think she should have kept her mouth shut. She's a congresswoman from California, so it's really not, she has every right to have an opinion, but that's not where she needs to be putting her foot down, especially prior to a verdict. And she was being, I don't want to say antagonistic. I don't know what the right word is. But
I don't know why you're doing this. Like, look, what she shouldn't have said what she said. It's not really that much different than what Trump said in terms of, like, the shit that people are hammering Trump for right before what happened on January 6th. Like, now, is it different?
It's different.
The only reason it's different is because of the actual audience, right? But I still think that, look, we don't need elected officials telling people you need to do, like, X needs to happen or else there will be consequences in the form of, you know, civilian uprising, right? And well, I was using fighting as, I mean, it's not the exact, I didn't mean actually physically go out there and fight once the fighting actually starts, right? I just think that politicians as a whole need to, like, are you allowed to have an opinion? Yes, you are. And you need to keep it to your fucking self, right? I don't care who you are. Donald, Maxine, whoever the favorite toast of the town is, whether AOC, Marjorie Taylor Greene, keep your opinions to your fucking self, and why don't you go figure out a way to get a bill passed and get it to the Senate, and then once it's in the Senate, get it passed so we can move our country forward. I don't care who you are. Auntie Maxine, you're not my aunt. I don't fucking know you. All I know is that you live in a gated community somewhere in California, and the place that you have been elected to is a fucking shithole, right? So why don't you focus on what's going on in California, right? Why don't you figure out how to get Biden's things through and make sense of all of this, right? I don't need you commenting on this. This isn't where I need you right now, right? Where I need you is doing your fucking job. This isn't a part of your job. I got 12 people in a jury to handle this. Right, and I got a judge and I got a prosecution and defense attorneys who have given them the instructions, who have given them the path. They can figure it out. They don't need you. I just, like, these politicians, I don't care if it's Maxine Waters or whoever, right? I'm tired of them injecting themselves to make it about them.
Do you think there's a risk that, all right, I think the defense will appeal using that as a grounds for appeal. Yep. Don't know if it'll get any traction or not.
They will. I mean, this defense team is, they it seems like they were hired from, you know, Trump's team that were trying to deal with the election.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? With some of the bullshit that they did. But they will. I don't think it will get any traction, you know, because the jury was specifically, instructed to avoid stuff like this. So the assumption is that since no one, you know, self-reported themselves, like, hey, I just watched the news all night, I'm sorry, then you're not going to have much of a grounds because you're not going to be able to say that what she said had any sort of impact on the jurors unless the jurors, unless after when they do the exit polls, the jurors are just like, oh yeah, we all saw it and we totally were vibing with her. Made total sense to us, right? Like if that's the case, then you got a situation. But considering that's not the case, they can try, but it's not going to go anywhere.
Okay. I'm gonna bring up my buddy Tucker Carlson in a minute, but before we get to him, I want to talk about Nancy Pelosi because what she did I found revolting. Did you hear her?
I didn't hear it.
Okay.
I mean, I know everybody's mad at her,
She basically said, we need to thank George Floyd. You gave your life to make this country and the state a better place. George Floyd, he's not a martyr. He didn't choose to give up his life. No. He was killed.
Like he was asking to actually have that not happen.
Right. And Nancy Pelosi sounded like such a grandstanding phony. She sounded awful.
It's just like when her and Chuck Schumer put on the kente cloth and did the kneeling. Like, again, injecting themselves, putting them in the forefront to say, this is about me. Here's my soundbite. Make sure you get it. And it's on all the news so they know that I said this amazing thing. It's going to go great. Well, it didn't go great for you, Nancy. You need to shut the fuck up. You need to go do your job. This is not your job. The job is the responsibility of those 12 jurors, that judge, that prosecution team, and the defense team. You guys, in your input, we don't need it. We also don't want it. I don't care. Like we don't need it. We don't want it. Anyone who says they want it are too stupid to know that they don't want it. So I'm telling you for them, we don't need your fucking opinion.
No, she came off like a real asshole to me.
You're more than entitled to have it, but I'm telling you, don't say it out loud.
People say she's
got a First Amendment right just like everybody else. She's got a First Amendment right to say that shit at home.
Yep.
Like, don't say it out loud. You're a fucking congressman. I'm sorry, there's a higher bar. There's a higher standard, and there's limitations on what you can say because of the influence that you have. So you need to learn to control it.
So grandstanding. And again, she's doing it in front of multiple cameras and microphones.
It's the same shit that Trump was doing.
Sure.
It's the same. It's just, it's a different topic, and because I'm for the black people, then it's not as bad. It's just as bad, right? You're still trying to manipulate and influence. Right, and again,
and prosper,
and right, and make it about you, and benefit from it. Like just shut up, right? I mean, I don't know if she's gonna make any money off of it, but again,
benefit's a better word. And again, grandstanding. It was. Yeah. I listened to her, and I'm like, please stop. Oh no, you're not gonna. Yep, you just did. Okay, shut the fuck up.
Right, and then, but I mean, you know, you've got Boebert on the other side, and you've got,
Let me do the Tucker Carlson thing. Because that's a big deal. He is the biggest face on Fox.
But he's not an elected official. But
no, he's not. But he came out and said that the jury did what it did because they were afraid of what the mob would do if they didn't. And that is disgusting. Now, I've been talking about what an asshole I think Tucker Carlson is for a long time. I stand by all of it.
That's fine. But you know what? Fox agrees with you. You know how we know? Because when they went to court, they said, hey, by the way, this isn't real. And anyone who takes him serious is fucking insane. Okay. They said that about him. All
right, fine. And then they put his show on every night.
But I mean, like, it's like
they know he's an idiot, but he's their idiot. Fine. I can still call him an idiot.
You can. And
idiot's not even fair. Or it is, but that's not the word.
We know what Tucker Carlson is. We know what his act is, right? Like he took Bill O'Reilly's spot and cranked it up a notch in terms of the ridiculousness, right? He loves this, right? And now Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Tucker Carlson, the people at OAN, the people at Fox, what do they all do? They took the focus away from what happened, right? A situation where justice is served, where a man lost his life unnecessarily, and made it about them. Made it about Maxine Waters. Made it about Nancy Pelosi. Made it about Fox and Tucker Carlson, right? Which I blame all three of them for doing that. But at the same time, we're only fanning the flames. And that's the part that infuriates me, right? Because they put us in this situation intentionally where all of it should be Chauvin deserves to be in jail and George Floyd has been vindicated. That should be the focus. But now we got to talk about these idiots.
The only reason I'm going to argue with you is because what those people do fuels the narrative. And if particularly when Tucker Carlson is saying this isn't about, you know, justice, this is about the media driving this, that bothers me tremendously.
It's got to be refuted, but I don't have to enjoy it. And I can sit here and be pissed about it all I want. Like,
who says I'm enjoying it?
Right. I mean, I just like, look, I think that you love to get off on saying, oh, Tucker Carlson is an idiot. And I just like it's a
okay, fine.
Fool's errand, I think.
Okay. That's fine. All right.
I'm not saying, I'm just, it's not you. They are the ones who are putting us in this position where we have to talk about them. That's the infuriating part. Right. And I feel that but my thing is these two are elected officials who should absolutely know better. This dude gets paid to be a fucking clown. And he does it well.
He does.
Right? And he gets... Complete with a bow tie for years. He's so good at it that Fox had to remind the court that it's entertainment and shouldn't be taken at face value. It is bullshit. That is what they said in court about their guy. You know what I mean? So that hat... Like, that is true. Like, every time I go back to that, like, you are... Like, yeah, and anyone who follows him is a fucking idiot. And if we have so many people that are following him, guess what? Us screaming about it isn't going to solve anything. We've got much bigger problems. And we do because we've got people who follow him and listen to him. Right? Us talking about it is like the only way to fix those people is something that I've been talking about, which is something that no one is actually prepared to do.
Which is?
You know goddamn well what it is. You know what it is. Look, these people are so fucking dumb to really get what we want. What the progressives want, what Democrats want, what normal people want, you got to tear the whole system down. And in a country like this, the only way you tear it down is to burn it all the way down. And nobody is willing to do that. Nobody. Right? And rightfully, listen, I'm not saying I'm ready. Like I've got the gasoline and I've got the match. But what I'm saying is, to actually get to what people want in terms, you want to rebuild the system, you really want to fix policing, you want to fix the racism issue, then you're going to have to fucking tear this country apart with another war. And then whoever wins gets to rebuild it in their image. And it may work out for you, it may not. That's about the only way you're going to fix it. Otherwise, you're going to have to continue with very, very incremental change over time. That's it. I mean, we can argue about it, but the reality is, you want to fix this thing, you got to burn it down. And nobody wants to do that. We're all too comfortable, and I'm fine with it. I'm comfortable. I have no desire to go to war. Seems like it sucks. Hard pass for me. I don't have the balls to do it.
Well, what never gets defined is who's going to war against who.
What's that?
What never gets defined is who is going to war against who.
I think you take a look overseas. Look at what you see in the Middle East. I don't think it's going to be one side versus one side. I think it would be very tribal. I think it would break down to class. I think there would be some race. I think there would be some political. I think you'd have multiple factions fighting against each other. Everyone fighting for what they think is right. I think it would be a terrible thing. I don't think it's the right thing. I don't think it's what we want. But to get what people want, there are people who are, and they're not right, but there are people who don't want the system to change at all. The Mitch McConnells of the world, they don't want anything to change. Everything that's changed to this point since 1964 has been an affront to them, right? They don't want it to change. And if it does change, they want it to be very, very incremental so that they're dead, right, when it finally does happen, right? Like, I guarantee you Mitch McConnell still probably throws up in his mouth every time he thinks about Obama being elected twice, right? So, but people like that, like those are the people that you're fighting against, and they're not just going to give it up, right? Like Mitch McConnell is not going to let, like Joe Biden, Joe Biden has the House, he's got the Senate by the skin of his dick, and he's the president, right?
Sure.
And Mitch McConnell is doing everything in his power to keep that man from doing anything that he wants to do with some moderate success, right? Like these people are fighting for what they believe are their lives. So the idea that you're going to be able to sit people down at a table to hash out social justice and equality. No, because they don't want it. They don't want it in any way, shape, or form. They will hide behind capitalism and say, let the market bear out. But they know the market has been built, right, to keep these things going. So those people are not going to let that shit go with a meeting at a table. Like, the only way you're going to be able to get that change at the rate in which you want it, fast and soon, is you're going to have to fucking tear it from their cold, dead hands. Right, and we're just not at a point where people want to do that. I don't want to be there, but to get the change and the speed and what you want it, that's the only way to get it.
Okay, that's an avenue that we should probably dig into deeper. But I think we need to move on to the other recent shooting of in this case, a young black woman in Columbus, and how it immediately got turned into, by some, George Floyd Part 2, and I think that's a very irrational comparison. So there were people, and we'll get to
with this incident. You have Makia Bryant, a young girl, and I'm still not clear. From what it sounds like, someone showed up to fight this girl, right? Like, a couple girls showed up to fight her. She either they had a knife or she had a knife. Fight breaks out, and she is going after people with the knife. Now, I think we're pretty sure that they were coming after her. She basically turns the tables on them. The police get called, I think, because the other girls came. And by the time the police get there, she has kind of the advantage because she's got the knife. I sent you the full video, started with the police officer in his car responding to the call, getting there. As soon as he gets out, like, and it's from his body cam, from right. his perspective. As soon as he gets out, there's a girl, you know, getting flipped onto the ground. There's two other girls, you know, close to a car. One girl is back up against the car. The other girl is Makia Bryant. She's got a knife. Police officer tells her multiple times to put the knife down, you know, tells her to get down. And then he opens fire, shoots her. She goes down. The other girl, who was up against the car, runs away. You know, parents, people start yelling at the police officer about what happened. After watching the video, this is not going to go well in the progressive circles, but I'm not exactly sure what you wanted that officer to do in that situation.
I agree.
You got a girl who's up against a car with face to face with another girl who's got a knife, and they're less than a foot apart, you know, or maybe a couple feet apart right. at most.
Within stabbing right? range.
And listen, you know, if you've never been involved in a situation where one person's got a knife and you don't, or if you both have a knife, being that close to each other, every move is dangerous.
Sure.
It is. And I'm speaking from firsthand experience. I have a scar on my back where I got fucked up in a fight in a bar in Chicago, right? So this isn't speculation. This isn't guessing. This isn't, I saw it in a movie. This fucking happened. Got jumped by a group of guys who were in a very notorious gang in Chicago. I had a girl with me, and, you know, we were playing Silver Strike, the bowling game. It's kind of like Golden Tee, but for bowling. They tried to take it over. They jumped us. One of the guys had a knife. He cut the shit out of my back, which I ended up kind of getting covered with a tattoo eventually because it left a pretty gnarly scar. And the only way I got out of that situation, I ended up hitting that guy over the head with a fucking glass pitcher. You know, knocked him out. He goes down and had done a pretty decent job with the other guys, but, like, we were at an extreme disadvantage. I snatch her. We run out. I had known the owner of the bar a long time. He, you know, kind of helped clean that situation up. And it was long enough ago where I'm not so much worried about it. And good luck trying to figure out which bar it is. Unless I've told you the story, then I think I probably told you the name.
You've never told me the name. I know the story.
But either way, like, that situation, like, you know, when you're that close with a person with a knife, sure. The idea that the police officer is gonna got there, and as soon as he gets there, he sees these girls facing off. One of them has a knife. There's no time for him to run and tackle that girl or right. do whatever people are suggesting. I'm like, who? Like, he's not fucking Tony Stark in Iron Man suit. Right. Like, he's got to make a split second decision. And the idea,
if I don't do anything, this other girl's getting stabbed.
Right. He's got to make a split second decision to save the other girl's life.
Right.
Right now. I think if you want to criticize the adults who are standing around for not doing something, okay. But the problem is the girl, like, there's a knife. Right? And listen, a crazy person wielding a knife or a pissed off person wielding a knife is dangerous, and you have limited, right? Unless you are a trained expert, right, in dealing with people in that sort of situation, like, I don't necessarily blame the adults for not going after her. Like, somebody probably should have done something to break it up. But, I mean, you got a person wielding a knife who is clearly upset, to say the least.
Sure.
And so your options are limited on how you're going to be able to stop that. And I'm not sure how you're going to get around the fact that you're not going to get around what the limited options the officer had. It's going to probably be ruled a justified shooting. And as tragic as it is, right? I don't know if I can get upset about it thinking that it's an injustice, right? Now, if you want to say we need to change police policy across the board, right? Like, you got to figure out a non-lethal way to get people to stop being aggressive. I'm more than willing to listen to it. You know, the police in London don't have guns, right? And they deal with knife fights all the time. So I don't know. But we got a lot more. We got more guns than people in this country. So we can't put the police at that sort of a disadvantage, or they'll just get mowed down in the streets. And so I don't know what the answer is. But what I do know is that this is probably going to be ruled a justified shooting. And this is one that, as sad as it is, because the girl was so young and everything seems like she checked all the boxes about being a sweet abused person.
And been through, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's sad, but this isn't George Floyd. This isn't Chauvin. This is different. And, you know, I said something last week that once a cop shoots somebody and kills them, that maybe they should be taken off the street. I stand by that. So this is a situation where, you know, if my rule were in place, then it would be like, all right, you know, it's justified, but we're going to take you off the street. You know, so you're going to go train new cadets, or you're going to be working in admin, or you're going to do something. You know, because we can't have you on the streets anymore just to protect yourself and to protect other people.
Again, I don't completely agree with that, but I would say if this doesn't fuck with your head as a cop, I don't know what does.
Right.
Because shooting a 16-year-old girl is got to be something that just mentally destroys you.
I don't understand why we want people on the street that, I mean, I...
Well, but to the other point, though, I don't think he acted inappropriately.
I don't either.
I know you don't.
I'm not saying...
No, you said the exact opposite, and I'm agreeing with you.
Right, I think he did. I think he did what he had to do.
If he didn't do that, and the other girl gets stabbed, there's going to be people saying, well, it was your job to protect the girl who didn't have the knife.
Right.
Why did you do something? And I'm going to call out LeBron James, who tweeted immediately a picture of the cop that fired the shot with the "your next" hashtag accountability. And to LeBron's credit, he took it down quickly after he saw the video and said, "I reacted to the concept and to this being from my home state." So I'll give LeBron a lot of credit for acknowledging he was wrong with how he handled it. But he shouldn't have put that tweet up there in the first place, because he didn't have all the information. And, you know, you and I have both said on the show multiple times, if you have the platform, it's absolutely fine for you to use it. But
you gotta
with
use it
great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
Here I mean, go Peter and, Parker
and,
again.
And he, you know, and I don't, like, the problem is that I think there's some people who have blinders on who just, if the police kill a black person, that's just the end of it. They did it. It was unjustified. You don't have to kill them. They will go to countless other videos of police dealing with crazy white people wielding knives and guns and not killing them. Which
is all true.
Which does happen, right? And I think it's, in theory, it's a fair comparison, except for it's not a video of the same cop, right, in the same jurisdiction. It's always a video of different cops somewhere else. Like, see, these cops over here did it. Like, and that's where I have an issue with that comparison. But I think there are just some people who will look at pretty much every officer-involved shooting that deals with black people, and they won't look, they're not going to look at it objectively. They're going to look at it from the point of, you know, just police brutality, police abuse of power, police violating constitutional rights, period, the end. And any sort of justification for it is coming from a place of white supremacy and keeping the current power structure in place, which I just, if we want to fix this, we can't, that's not how it's going to go, right? Like, if you want to, if you, like, every, every step in progress that black people have made has come in the courtroom and has come with legislation. And it's come with a lot of pain, right? Before and after. But the fact that we had a black president, the fact that we're seeing more black CEOs and more black businesses and more black people making the transition from the cycle of poverty into wealth accumulation, even though it's small and even though like there's a million barriers and there's plenty of shit out there still, a lot of the progress that's been made, the fact that I'm sitting here with the job that I have and the opportunities that I have come because of progress that's been made in the courtroom and progress that's been made on state houses and the state and the House Senate floor across the country. And that's how, like, listen, if you want to win this game, you got to know the game, you got to play by the rules of the game, and you got to beat them at their game, right? And once you beat them, then you can change the rules, right? This idea that everything we see is like we have to be objective about it, right? And people get really mad at me and they say, well, you just want to, okay, fine, I guess. But all I know is that if we want to win, this is the way to do it. And that means we have to be objective and look at situations like this for what they are, 100% tragic. And I don't know how vilifying that officer fixes that situation.
Agreed.
You know, because it was an impossible situation that if you put any person in, right, whether they're a cop or whoever, right, with the option of let the girl stab the other girl or cut, because even if she doesn't stab her in the heart, right, if that girl swings that knife and hits her femoral artery in her leg, the girl bleeds out and dies, right?
Yeah.
I mean, she's got like,
or whatever. There's so many,
there's so many things.
Hits her in the eye and blinds her. She was facing legitimate life-threatening situations.
Right. Now, and here's a crazy thing, right? So some Twitter account of a popular person, which I'm not going to give them the pub because I don't want people running to her page, her Twitter thing, but she puts this tweet out saying, well, knife fights are common amongst kids. Kids have always fought with knives, and for the police to come out and handle it that way is just complete abuse of power. Like, are you fucking insane? Like, this has got to be coming from a person who's never been in any sort of fight in their fucking life, right, for their life, because that's an insane idea that, well, knife fights happen all the time, and the idea that the police
use lethal force. Kids stab kids all the time, Steve. Like, why do we need to get the police involved in stabbing? Stabbing should be a...
No, but you
put that tweet out there. I'm like, this is a. I honestly thought it was a parody.
Right. Like you think it would like you can't be for real, and then you come back and like, no, she's dead serious. She legitimately thinks that it's a bad idea to have police involved with kids fighting each other with knives because there's no way that can go terribly wrong.
I mean, I've been on and off with the Young Turks, but they were on there saying, why didn't they use a taser in that situation? What the fuck? You come out there, you're dealing with that. Much as those folks want to be progressive and on the cutting edge, blah, 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 when you say shit like that, your credibility goes way down.
Exactly. Your ability to, like, I can't take you fucking serious because you don't want to actually fix the problem.
You won't take me serial.
You just want things to be done the way you want them done, whether it makes sense, whether it's logical, whether it's effective,
or not. I'd say they're pandering.
Yeah, you're right.
They're absolutely pandering. It's like, we need to say what we think our, in the case of the Young Turks, our liberal progressive crowd will eat up. So we're going to say this
maybe,
and stand by it.
I mean, like,
I was so annoyed, Steve.
Maybe they're pandering, but even if they're not and they truly believe it, like
that's still, worse. I mean,
right, it's worse. And I think with a lot of these people, they do actually believe some of the shit that they say. And it's just like, do you realize how that, like, that's just...
Sadly, you're right. Based on my social media
they will legitimately get mad, right? Oh, yeah. Get mad at you, shut you down, block you or whatever. Or, like, you know, I've lost progressive friends because they're just, you're a lost cause. You're just, like, you don't know it, but you're a racist and you support white supremacy because you don't, like, I'm like...
I was digging for where to jab at you on that. I'm like, I got nothing.
Right, it's just like... I can't even begin to process
this. This is Jim and Clayton Bigsby and Whiskey Congress. Oh my god! And anyway, it was absolutely a tragedy. 100%.
It is, and I.
But to put it in the same bucket.
And listen, I'm not even blaming the girl, right? Like, if people come to jump you, Like, if you've ever been jumped by people who are trying to beat you up,
I have.
Like, you go, listen, I'm not blaming her, because I've been, like, when if I were to get jumped, like, there's no, like, all of me being trying to be, like, diplomatic, that shit goes out the window, and I black out. Right? So whatever happens, happens. Whatever gets broken, whether it's object or person, gets broken, and whenever I come down, I come down, and I am fortunate by the grace of God or whoever that I haven't been shot by a cop, right? In a situation where I've been engaged in a fight, because I just go apeshit. There's no other way to fucking explain it. So this girl, they come to her house or wherever she's at, they jump her, they're trying to beat her up, she loses her shit. Maybe she had the knife or somebody else had the knife and she got it and she's like, look, y'all are not gonna fuck with me. So we're doing this, we're doing it. She blacks out. She probably never heard that cop. She was in such a rage. I promise you, she never heard that cop pull up. She didn't hear him yell. She didn't hear him say, drop it. All she saw was a person who had come to fuck with her and fuck her up right in front of her. And she was like, you're going to get it. Right. And I feel fucking awful because I know where she was at mentally. And she wasn't deliberately disobeying that cop. She had no idea he was, I promise you, she had no idea he was there. And by the time those shots rang out, it was too late. She was dead.
It's awful. And it is awful. It is awful. And, but back to the other point is the officer showing up is not Derek Chauvin who knelt right on someone's neck for 9 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, no, you brought up Laquan McDonald. I remember when we talked about that, you remember that?
Yeah.
I said, it was 14 seconds. I said, let's talk. We're going to shut up for 14 seconds. That 14 seconds seemed like an eternity.
Forever. Yeah.
9.5 minutes. Not the same as this.
No. This was another one that was, I think the total duration from the time he gets out of the car until she's dead on the ground is maybe 15 seconds. Right. And I think he shot her 2 or 3 times. Right, or okay, 4 times, but still, one, it's not 16, which was right absurd. And you know, I mean, and also, he's got a military background. He was, you know, I guess he was an excellent marksman. I mean, and look, the other thing, too, he only shot her. Like, I mean, like, his grouping was really tight because, look, those two girls were right in line with each other. The fact that he didn't hit the other girl is pretty fucking remarkable.
You're 100%. It feels gross to say, you're 100% right.
Right. I mean, like, so he was doing what he was trained to do, and what he knew he had his gun. It wasn't a mistake like we saw in Minnesota just a couple weeks ago. Right,
Brooklyn Center.
It was, you know, it was different on a lot of different accounts. And, again, tragic situation. That officer ultimately probably will be vindicated. I think that he should be. And I don't, like, this situation, I don't really know how you fix it. I don't have a good solution either. Because I think that the girl was within her, like, you attack me, I am going to lose my shit on you. I don't blame her. I blame the girls for coming to jump her. Whatever it was, didn't need to be handled that way. I blame people that were there not getting involved earlier before knives come out, right? Like, you got adults, like, just standing around not doing fucking anything. And
well, Steve, teenagers have been trying to stab teenagers for a long time.
It's just a little teenage knife fight. What's wrong with that, Jim? Like, get the fuck out of here. All right.
You wanted to contrast this to Kyle Rittenhouse.
Not as much contrast. I think, like, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse has kind of popped up back in the news because I know some a police officer got fired for donating, you know, very proudly to the Kyle Rittenhouse GoFundMe, which has accumulated hundreds of thousands of dollars for his defense. You know, and I took some heat for something that I said on social media. And I may take it from my personal and put it on our actual Whiskey Congress page.
I saw it. Go ahead, yeah.
And I took a lot of heat from it, and it was, and I think people kind of missed my point. And you know, with Kyle Rittenhouse, the situation was this. He's standing on the court. He comes from Illinois,
right,
and into Wisconsin. He brings with him his rifle that I believe his mother bought for him. And I think in Wisconsin, you are, like, you need to be 18. I think he was 17 at the time. You need to be 18 to lawfully have a rifle, but it's an open carry state. But if you are under the age of 18 and the adult buys the rifle for you, I believe you are legally allowed to have it. Right? Like, now that's, I'm not 100% sure.
And either way, it came across state lines from Illinois, and there's a whole bunch of.
It's convoluted, but the issue is that he's not being charged with that. That's why as much as people want to hang their hat on it, I don't think that there's grounds for it. But push that aside. So he brings his rifle. He is standing on the corner of a auto repair shop or a car dealership, protecting it from potential rioting and looting, right? Group of people walk by, protesters protesting the shooting that had happened there in Kenosha, where the guy got shot trying to get in the car after the whatever going on with his mother of his children. So the crowd goes by, sees him with the gun, and there's a verbal back and forth. Right? They're, hey, what are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Long story short, crowd yells, get him. Right? So they run after him, and he takes off running. He runs, and he ends up going into, a lot where he's cornered, because it looks like a parking lot. He's cornered back up against the wall. And so then he begins to shoot, and he shoots the, person he was verbally sparring with initially. Once he shoots him, people kind of like, oh, what the fuck? He shot this guy. So then he runs, and then they run after him again, right? Because he just shot the guy.
Sure.
So as he's running, he trips and falls over his own feet and rolls over. People are coming at him. One guy's got a bat. Another guy has a gun. So he shoots again. The guy who has a gun, I think he's shot in the hand. The guy with the bat, I think he kills. And I think one other person maybe was...
had a skateboard or something weird like that.
Something like that, right. But then... that clears more room for him. He gets up, he runs away. So based on the law, in Wisconsin, he's it's not a standard ground state. In cases of self-defense, you have a duty to retreat, which means that if you can, you need to run before you engage in, force or lethal or deadly force or whatever the standard is. And so he does that. And then, again, he's back into a corner in the parking lot. He shoots his way out. Once he trips and falls, right, he can't run anymore. They're still coming after him, so he shoots his way out. Based off the law, I think that, in my opinion, based off the law, unless there's more evidence that shows something else, that the prosecution is going to have a hard time in this case convicting him of murder, right? They're going to go in and they're going to try to prove it. Right, they're going to say that he crossed state lines with this gun with the intent to kill because he's a racist and affiliated with the Proud Boys and everything else, and his intention was to kill people. Okay, fine. But I think by the law, they're going to have a very hard time convicting him of murder based off of the way things transpired. Right, because he fulfilled his duty to retreat, because he's backed into a corner and this mob is chasing him, before he shoots anybody, they start chasing him, right? And it's just what the, right? And people are saying, well, he incited them. How? There were fucking 20 of them and him and some other guy with the gun. What exactly could he have said that makes sense for this mob to take off and run after him? Even if he says, fuck you, libtards, come and get me. If they take off after him and come, what they should have, if they really thought what he was doing was so wrong, what should they have done? Should they have A, ran after the guy with the gun, or B, gone and got the police and told them to deal with it?
Well, and that's the one thing that people push back at you at and say, he then walked away from killing two people with a loaded assault rifle and walked through as if he had an ice cream cone.
Okay.
And that's and
from but a legal what does that have to do with how it started?
No, that does not have nothing to do with how it started.
Okay, but again,
people will talk about the double standard there. That if,
okay, but what does that have to do with court? What does that have to do with this
court?
Case?
Okay,
because the whole
you're
premise,
a lawyer, I'm not.
The whole premise again of what I'm saying is when he goes to court legally, what probably is going to happen is that he's gonna walk. Right now, you're not gonna like it, and you don't have to like it. And I'm not saying that I like it, but what I am saying is that should have been, this could have been prevented if that crowd, which, by the way, yeah, they were protesting and yeah, they had Black Lives Matter t-shirt, but that crowd was mostly white, right? That crowd was mostly white. And they looked at him and they decided, we are going to be the ones who are going to enforce the law. We're going to enforce the law ourselves. Instead of going to the police, I don't care if you don't like the police. It's still their job and not yours. You have not been deputized. You can't deputize yourself. You can't decide that you are going to be the ones who control who are on the street and who are not. Right? You know who did that? You know who did that? Those two bumfucks down in Georgia when they killed Ahmaud Arbery over nothing. Right? And then these people just got two people killed and another person shot because they decided, the mob decided, that he didn't need to be there. They didn't like his gun. You know, because people are like, well, he shouldn't have been there with that type of gun. The fuck?
I actually agree with you. You shouldn't have been there, but that's really not relevant. Okay.
It's not relevant to the crowd deciding that he shouldn't have been there.
Agreed. No, where I don't think he walks if they pursue it is there are weapons charges about crossing state lines, and that will be.
He's not charged with that, though.
Okay, if he's not charged with that, that's dumb by the prosecution, then.
But it's not dumb if he didn't break the law. Listen, if the law says you can have the gun if you're under 18, if your parent buys it for you, and his mother buys the gun for him, then what the fuck are you. Like, then what was illegal about it?
Is crossing state lines, I think, was illegal.
You don't know that. I don't know that.
I do know he crossed state lines.
You don't know that that is illegal, right? And I don't know it either. And people are just saying that it is because they feel like it sounds very cross state lines and interstate commerce and federal law.
Right. I've heard it. I've definitely not.
Like crossing state lines. That like if that's the issue. If that's the issue, then it should then therefore be a federal case.
Well, I can tell you that. I know I've told you the story about me bringing a gun into Illinois.
That's Illinois. This is Wisconsin.
Right. From Illinois. So it's kind of funny because I brought a gun from Michigan into Illinois. I can't say unwittingly. I knew it was there, but it was an impromptu trip to Illinois. And as soon as I was like halfway through the trip, I'm like, holy shit, I've got a gun in my trunk. If I get pulled over, that gets found, I'm getting charged with a felony. And that's a different discussion for a different day.
But it's a completely different fact pattern.
It is. Right? Like, you know, I'm not arguing with you.
Their gun laws in Wisconsin are completely different than what they are in Illinois.
Absolutely.
Right? And so, again, everyone's saying, well, he crossed state lines. Right? Again, like what you guys are saying, though, then if that were the case, then I think, one, this would be a federal case. Now, part of it is when this happened, you had Trump's DOJ. And they weren't going to get involved with this under any circumstances. Sure. Right? For reasons we know, right? But now, listen, we've got Merrick Garland. Merrick Garland swooped in as soon as the Chauvin trial was over. Is like, oh, by the way, Minneapolis, we're coming after your police department. We're gonna we're gonna put the white gloves on, and we're gonna get in there and finger bang you until we figure out what's going on.
I was hoping to stop you before you said finger bang, but I was.
I've been thinking about it all night. So anyway, I don't like everyone's hanging their hat on that, but he's not charged with it. And so I can't bring it into the conversation of legality, right? It's just like, you want this to be a thing, but it's not a thing. You know why it's not a thing? Because they didn't fucking charge him with it, right? And if you could say, well, they should have. Okay, fine.
All right.
Guess what? But you saying they should have doesn't mean it's something that comes up in court. That's something that he can be found guilty of. Now, if they do turn around and charge him with it, or Merrick Garland says, hey, by the way, that Kyle Rittenhouse kid, he broke a federal law, charge him with this and make it a federal case, okay, fine. That changes the conversation. But based off of what I have in front of me right now, the charges he's been charging with, the evidence that we've seen, the kid is probably going to walk legally. That's what I'm saying. Now, if you want to say we need to change the laws, fine. But guess what? Even if you change the laws today, it doesn't impact him.
It doesn't retroactively.
Right. It doesn't retroactively go into effect. So with what we have in front of us, the Kyle Rittenhouse kid, even though I think that he is a douchebag in the making, right? And he's probably already there. His parents don't seem to be at least his mom doesn't seem to be the brightest light on the tree, right? Like the kid, I could say all these things about not liking him and what's in his mind and what's in his heart and everything else. But at the end of the day, it's not about what I feel. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I need. It is about what I can prove. And you can't prove that he murdered those people based on the law. What you can prove is that he defended himself within the law. And unfortunately, it's not what people want, and it's not what we need right now, given our socio-political climate, but it's what's going to fucking happen. And you can be as mad at me as you want and say dumb things to me on my Facebook page, but at the end of the fucking day, you're wrong, and that's just... Now, listen, here's the deal. You still need 12.
True.
You still need 12. and you can get 12 people in there, they could completely disagree with me. They could say, fuck that kid. Can't stand him. He's going to jail. And if they do, I'll be like, I think they got it wrong, but I can live with it.
That's fair. Man, we've got over an hour, and we have a few lighter things to talk about.
Okay, so real quick, NFL draft coming to Cleveland.
Yes, it is.
Next week.
Yes.
Pretty excited about it, although it's going to be crazy. It's going to be hard to get into. Everything's really expensive. I don't know if I'm going to go down. I'm going to try to get down just to snap some pictures and to say that I was there just because I love the NFL. And I want to thumb my nose at all the people who are boycotting the NFL for whatever their reason is, because there's a million, right? They're boycotting because of Colin Kaepernick and they're not letting him in, or they're boycotting because of Colin Kaepernick and people took a knee, or they're boycotting because I don't care. Like, so I'm just going down there out of spite, I guess. Spite.
Well, spite is a rare thing for you. Okay, is your actually typically your
it's my driving. Main, it's my your, main. It's your main motivation. Driving.
Thank you. No, you know, so I think it's cool it's coming to Cleveland,
but you're not
going to
be here.
I will not.
Where are you going?
Going to Vegas, baby. I turn 50 next week.
This irks me because I can't go with you.
It bothers. I wish you could. Right. I
need
do.
To go because that's probably the only thing that's going to keep you alive. Like, we both know you're not going to make it back, and if you do. If you do, like, it's going to be because I have to come and get you and transport you from one hospital to another.
If I text you Warren Zevon, that means send lawyers, guns, and money.
I can do all three. I just got to bring myself.
Yeah, there we go.
and it's Vegas, so fuck state lines.
I believe I will survive.
Okay.
I think so.
The only reason I'm not betting you is because if I win, I can't collect.
Okay, this took a turn I did not anticipate. no, I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm staying at Bally's. I do wish you could be there. Last time, the only other time I've been in Vegas, we were there together. Whew. We had a lot of fun. I did barely survive, so you're betting.
Your kidneys are just now getting back into normal function.
That was brutal. That was brutal. But this is different. This is very different.
It's going to be hotter.
No, dude, we were there in fucking June.
Oh, yeah.
It was 120 degrees.
Yeah, you're right.
Was fucking I'm sorry. Savage.
I was mixing up trips, sorry.
Okay. It was your other white friend in Vegas. You cheating.
I know you do.
I know you do. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to have a birthday dinner at Lowry's Prime Rib, something that I've only been to the one in Chicago, which is the founding store. And I went there in like 1995, and I still remember it.
So, think about this. I meant to tell you this earlier, but Hash-A-Go-Go, it's not on the strip. You got to take an Uber to get there. Maybe worth it for breakfast. Maybe.
Hash-A-Go-Go.
Pretty good breakfast. Just think about it. If you feel like it, right?
I'll Google where it is and see how it is.
Check it out. Think about it. I thought it was really good. Great servings. Great, you know, good way to line the stomach before you, you know, do some
Vegas shit.
Do some serious damage to your innards.
I will be going to Planet 13 and checking out the largest cannabis dispensary in the country or the world?
World. But they're building a bigger one in California.
Okay,
you've got my list of shit I want, right?
I don't know what you're talking about, Steve. I couldn't possibly get it back here legally.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If I get picked up at a fucking airport, I'm blaming you. Steve.
Just call me. We got a guy.
We know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, man.
All right. Thank you very much for listening. We're at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter. It's been fun. I will be talking to you from Vegas the next time you hear me. Hopefully, I'm out. We're out.